The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. It is a Friday. It's the end of the week. Another couple of companies gone bust throughout the week. That's the bottom of the bull market. And what is it? The 8th of the 12th, 2023 is a Friday. That means Johnny Boy is here in his puffer jacket.
Hello.
Is it cashmere, John, under there, John?
No, it's a T-shirt.
Okay. What's the logo there, John?
This is from the film Dune. It is by Will Alone, I Set My Mind in Motion.
Welcome along, everyone. Thank you for joining Taking Stock. It is much appreciated. Our subscriber numbers are going up, but they need to go significantly higher for us to stay online after the end of the year. We need to hit 5,000. We've just blown past 3.5, I think. And also, there's another spanner in the works. I'm off. The week commences the 18th. Yeah, so let me get it a little bit harder. Okay, the badge for first commentator or commenter of the day goes to AI Investor. He says, I like this. You're thinking creativity, AI Investors. Thinking of ideas, this channel. That's what I like, you see. You're a friend of the channel, friend of the show. Thinking of ideas, the channel. Maybe you get us viewers to share our portfolio makeup and then discuss it. Might be interesting and useful. Well, hey, start.
Pick
away. In fact, if you hold 50 stocks, it's going to be a bit of a boring read. But, it'd be interesting to see, what kind of stocks you're holding, how many you're holding, and what make that they take. But, do you know what, John? I said this. I don't think people are getting the significance of this chart. I said, and the theme of this show is, keep an eye on this chart. I think it's hugely important. First of all, let's go to the AIM oil share, all right? And in fact, before we do that, let's have a quick look at the indices, see what the markets are doing today. Here we are, John Ocado, your favourite stock. It's up. It's top riser in the FTSE 100.
Who knows why? Ocado. Who knows why?
Sainsbury's, Anabagasca, Burberry, FTSE's up a quarter of 1%, pretty much, 250.09. And the AIM oil share, it's the best performer of all the indices. This is a bit worrying. It's not worrying. It's good for inflation, but I've seen Anglo-American come out today, apparently.
They took a bit of trading update.
Yeah, weaker demand in some of their PGMs and fertilisers. They're saying demand's not there, which that's very good, isn't it, for inflation? Because, of course, it's going to come down. There's no demand for it. And I suppose that's a reflection of China, maybe, isn't it?
It is good, as you say, for inflation, but... Generally speaking, it's bad in terms of the sort of economic picture. Yeah. Demand is softening. We're seeing it in the oil markets as well. We've seen the oil prices come off quite a bit.
It has come off, hasn't it? In fact, I think it's rallying today because I've seen pictures of Putin visiting Saudi Arabia, really giving a high five to the main man at Saudi there. And they are trying to encourage OPEC Plus to cut more. Cut more. We need to cut more. The rest of them say, yes, we'll cut more. They go home, they turn the taps on. They're cutting. We can put it up.
Well, they have been cutting, which, you would expect to support oil prices. But, it's not having that effect because the demand picture is so weak.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I think we should state news now in good, bad. So it's good, bad for the economy. Good for the markets, because that's the way it is, isn't it? I think if we continue to get weaker, then central banks will realise that inflation is not going to get higher, there's less demand, there's going to be less supply, that'll bring prices down. Central banks then will think, okay, we probably need to ease because jobs then are being cut because there's less demand, less things are being made, less people are required to make them, all that kind of stuff, and it extrapolates. But that's the oil price. But this is the AIM share. This is not the chart I want to show you, but I think we're at a little bit of a... If you zoom in quickly, that bounce we've had from the low in October up to 720. Now, look at this. I'll have to expand this because it's tiny, but it's now above that previous high. It'd be nice if it closed above that. The next level here would be to break this previous sort of support level, but that's a good start on the AIM oil share. It is trying to break that. It hasn't just fallen back down and collapsed. It's literally trying to rally a bit harder, which is nice. But this is the chart. And in fact, since I looked at it, it has improved. But here we are, 2-year government bond, right? And I put this on there. Look at that 200-day moving average. Broke down the other day. It's trying to rally a little bit. But if we go back, John, it did touch it back then. But it's literally did close below the other day. Closed below it. Look at that. Two closes below. It's now on it. Now, if we go back, this is an inverse relationship to markets, pretty much. So when the yields start rising, of course, the markets start rolling over. And if we go back to when this last broke above the 200-day moving average, it was back down here in January 2021. This is when the top of the market happened in AIM, when it got above sort of half of 1%, pretty much. And now it's starting to go the other way. So literally, you could say the bull market, within a couple of months, the bear market has started after it crossed that. So I'm saying, I did say on Twitter the other day, when does the bull market start? Because if this rolls down now, and in fact, have you seen the headlines about mortgages? First time ever, two-year mortgage below 6%. So that they are confident that interest rates are coming down. We'll see that next week. I think it's next week is the Bank of England, everyone, the Fed, Europe, ECB, they're all talking about interest rates. But I think that's quite significant. What's your thoughts, Johnny boy?
Yeah. I mean, things don't feel like they could get a lot worse. I mean, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment that, you know, rate cuts have got to be, you know, sometime in the first, you've got to think some kind of sometime in the first quarter of next year.
Do you think first quarter? You're going first quarter, John? Is that what you're
Because I don't know, it feels like things are getting worse quite quickly.
Yeah. Well, that'd be interesting if they do. I mean, because they're still holding ground as yet. They're still saying it's too early to talk about rate cuts. It's not really.
No.
They don't want to stimulate the markets, I suppose, and make everyone go crazy. But they are obviously looking at data and starting to worry a little bit, I think. But I think it's going to be. I think we'll have a roll-up. I think we'll have a seasonal rally where you need to wear your Christmas hat, John, because you said you would. And then we'll have a little rollover. Yeah, we'll have a little rollover. And then I think as soon as the central banks start talking in a dovish manner, so we're looking at reducing interest, and then the markets then will go ballistic. Yeah. There's so many things historically that stack up for 2024 being a good year. I don't know if you saw, I think it was Richard Staveley's interview with Paul. But I did this a while back on the charts. I went back and looked at this. Whenever you got two negative years on AIM, the next year was a blowout, exceptional, brilliant year. And even you go back to, and he was talking about the small cap index, and he went back even further. So it's only done two negative years in the dot-com bubble and the great financial crash. But the small cap index, I think FTSE small cap, it's like in the 1970s, I think, did another 2 years. Never done a three-year negative run. But the third year is great. Fantastic, John.
There's always a first time for everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But when are you going to start getting your purse out, John, and start shopping?
I do have bits and bobs on the watch list. Stuff does appear to be moving. You know, there have been some nice rises, but then there's been some, you know, fairly horrific updates from some companies that you would have expected to do better. I'm just looking at Diageo at the moment. That's had Burberry, which was on the list of risers today. Is, you know, that chart is nasty.
That's Diageo. Like I said, it is pretty much a fund manager. In fact, John, whenever you read Investors Chronicle and all that stuff and some of that, look at interviews. All the fund managers had Diageo. It was a big company, so you expect them to have that.
You would.
But they all had it, and literally, it's always been a strong performer, pretty much. But look at that now; it's rolled over. There are some. I mean, it's like the FTSE 100. It's, you know, the smaller caps, micro caps have rolled over already. I mean, 2 years are down in it, but this now is coming down. And Burberry, I suppose, is a play on a big Chinese
China.
Market,
yeah, China.
Luxury goods in China. The Chinese not feeling, you know, flush. Then maybe it's affecting. Yeah, look at that.
Talking of China, you do have to worry what's going on there in terms of the property market. You know, we know that.
Yes.
And I've spoken about this before. You know, the Chinese economy is not well. There are big concerns around property. We know that, you know, sort of global trade is weakened a bit. We know that Germany's been in recession. Obviously, China being a big buyer of their capital equipment. So there are a lot of nasty signs, but as you say, the market and the economy are not necessarily the same thing. Small caps, you know, they have had a tough time, so you would expect that to mean revert at some point.
Yeah, I tell you where they're doing well, or they seem to be doing well, and you mentioned this a while back, actually. European cars, I think, have had it. I think Far Eastern cars now is the way forward. I really do. I think they're cheaper, they're better. And I, you know, it comes to the stage, we're talking about brands and stuff. I don't, you know, for a while we've had sort of, you know, BMs and Mercs and stuff like that. First year ever, we haven't, right? And literally, we bought a Hyundai, right? And literally, it is a business. It is better than the Merc. You don't take it into the garage anyway and get a little dink on the wing mirror and cost you 800 quid. It's like perfect. And it's a lovely little thing. And I just think they're better value for money. And it comes down to it, good quality, good value. Absolutely. Yep. And do you know what? It's funny. I was watching. No, there's lots of opportunities there. I do think things are starting to rally. I do like, you know, you mentioned the other day, Focus. I've been looking
Focus,
at,
right,
Focus,
yeah,
right, yeah. I've been looking at the chart, and I quite like it's bottoming out a little bit.
Mm.
There's another one I looked at yesterday. You weren't here yesterday, but the Future PLC had the results out.
Yeah,
they were pretty. And I said, I'm going to wait. Patience is the market is everything, and I wait, and I'm not going to get in before the final results. Do you know what happened?
It dropped down quite
30%.
Heavily.
Yeah. 30% yesterday, and they come back up. I watched last night when the kids were in bed and the missus were in bed. I watched the entire 1 hour presentation by Future, and it was done yesterday morning when this was down 30%. And the new CEO looked a bit, he didn't look very comfortable. And I understand why. He bought about 800 grand worth of shares at £8.88. And it dropped like five was a low yesterday. 5.15 it dropped to yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I mean about, you know, this is, you would have thought all the bad news is in the price for a company like Future. You know, you would have. You know, we know the advertising market's tough. We know that discretionary spending is under pressure. We know they've had a sort of bit of a strategic rethink, but there's still room for bad news out there.
I do like what you're saying. He didn't seem quite comfortable. I think he was looking at the share price all the time because that was the worst thing. When he was doing the presentation, it was at the lows. But I do like what they're doing. They're saying basically the market in America is seven times bigger than the UK. The thing is, they've got 2-to-1 amount of staff in the UK compared to America. It doesn't make any sense. So they're hiring in America now, and they're going to expand in America. So we've got excellent brands. You know, we all already have a playbook that works over here. Mm. We'll expand it. So he's got a lot of plans. So I do like it. I think it's going to be quite good. And they are on a PE of like 5 at the moment. It's like, you know, they are generating cash. They've got a bit of debt, but they are generating decent cash.
Less than 5 forecast PE. Wow.
Yeah. Nuts, isn't it? Really? So,
Anyway.
Before we get into a screener you've pulled up there, I just want to sort of AI's come back. Justin, have you purchased that Kim Jong-un calendar yet? Yeah, that advert keeps coming up in the box. I haven't yet. No, or I haven't purchased that, Lionel Rishi?
Lionel Rishi. Blimey.
Yeah, yeah. Investor. So he's got 35% ETFs, 10% Legal & General, 8% Unilever, 6% National Grid. That's quite a safe thing, isn't it? Greencoat, 5%, Tesco, 9%, Barclays, 4%, AstraZeneca, 7%, M&G, 4%, Inchcape 4%, Alpha Group International 1%, and Sigma Rock.
Very weighted towards the FTSE 100.
Yeah, yeah. Just get a fund. AI, just get a fund. It's easier.
That portfolio would have done very well. Mm. You know, in the FTSE 100 has been a strong performer in the last couple of years when small caps have been weak. So that's good. That's good allocation, you would say. Maybe it's time to shift out of large caps. It was, as we said, Diageo, Burberry. I think
they're rolling over a bit. By the way, did you see that news yesterday, which is not good for sort of big biotech companies? Biden in America. This is AstraZeneca. He's looking at. I think it's like, if you've got a patent on a drug and you're using it, they can take it off you and get it used and bring cheaper drugs to the market. So there's a little bit of worry about that.
That's sort of fair enough. All large, you know, drug developers, drug manufacturers, they do face this patent cliff and competition from generics. I mean, it's an ever-present risk in this sector.
They say we've spent years and years, you know, developing them. You can't just nick the patents off us. So let's have a look at a quick screener, John. You came up, what is this? Net cash screener.
Yeah, we did this one before.
And what is it then? What does it mean? What's it all about?
Get the thing up. Hang on a sec. I've lost it.
All global. Belvoir. In fact, I had Belvoir on a screener the other day.
So we want companies that have got cash. You know, as we've said, net cash. We don't want companies with any debt. We're looking for, max 250. So, you know, these are small caps. They're very, very small caps, really, 250 and below. We are looking for some sort of quality metrics in there as well. So return on capital employed. We're looking for a minimum of 10 there, which is a reasonably high level, and it indicates that there is quality here, and we want companies that are actually generating cash as well and aren't too expensive. They're not asking for much.
No. Well, that's, the thing is that I often say, and we've often said this, the problem with investing is you have option paralysis. Mm. There's so many stocks out there. I think it's 2,000 in the UK listed. You know, and if you research one a day, it takes you like 6 years pretty much to look through them all. And there's so many different financial metrics. So what you need to do is apply a screener and look for quality filters, you know, the things you're after, and that will help you. Therein is where you start your research, and the screener is a great way of starting research, aren't they? Mm. I think about Belvoir's a good company that's come up with a screener recently. On the markets there.
On the market, gone, I mean, that sort of tells you.
It's gone, isn't it?
Well, we're soon to be, but I mean, that sort of validates, validates the output of the screen, that actually one of the results is a company that an acquirer has looked at and gone, they look very, very reasonably priced. We like that, and we're going to buy it. So there you go. That's that sort of, as I say, validates the screen. There are a couple of Winkworth estate agents. Well, Belvoir. Yeah. I've looked at before. I've been interested in Belvoir because it's the lettings side of things, which,
and they're a franchise, aren't they? So that means they get money pretty much. You know, they it's a good money. In fact, did you see yesterday? I don't know if you mentioned this, John, but you saw this. But I looked at Vertu come out with a profit warning, pretty much.
Mm,
saying demand on cars, high end cars, are taking a hit, and they were literally a polar opposite chart-wise to Motorpoint. Motorpoint had already taken the hit pretty much. I mean, look at Motorpoint there. You can see there, that's the cost of living crisis right there. You take the car out on finance, it's like 10%. You know, it's very expensive now. So people are delaying that as much as they can. But Vertu were holding up quite well because they did a franchise model. And then yesterday, they're just seeing less demand, especially for higher end cars.
Yeah.
So they're coming down.
There's another example of how the economy isn't perhaps as factored into to all share prices as you would think. You know, that is a direct effect of higher rates that wasn't priced into that share price before that news came out.
Exactly. And I was saying that, there'll be sectors that are going to hurt for a long time, regardless of, like I said, it's not as black and white as saying the economy and the market is different. Because they are linked, of course, and you will see certain sectors suffer for a long time. You see companies come out with profit warnings, way beyond when central banks start reducing rates. Because, like I said, I don't know how much now, but most people who have mortgages, they haven't renewed yet. They haven't refinanced. Mm. But when they do, they're going to have to start spending less because that mortgage payment will take up more of its disposable income. So, so that's going to hit for a long time. So you've got to look at sectors that either is priced in already, the drop, and wait for news not getting as bad or for companies that are sort of insulated from that, insulated from the cost of living crisis. Mm. But of those lot there then, John, what would you go for?
Well, I do like Belvoir. Really good company, insulated from the sort of the worst of the property market. So, it's obviously the difficult part of the market is sort of sales, but lettings is very, very strong. There is a serious shortage of property out there, and it puts a company like Belvoir in a very strong position.
Yeah.
Defence is a sector that I think it's very, very likely to continue to do well over the next few years. A Cohort, very nice.
Defence is getting strong. I mean, literally, it seems to be now, more wars happening around the world all the time, isn't it? You've now got who's that madman who's hoarding Bitcoin? He's next to Guyana. Now he's threatening to go into Guyana and just take over all reserves.
Venezuela.
Okay, I'm thinking the other madman in South America somewhere who just literally was going to build a Bitcoin factory off volcanoes.
Oh, so, okay.
Who's that guy?
I can't possibly buy that story. Who else have we got? I mean, LBG Media, coming over, had my eye for a little while. If you like future, LBG. Then why don't have a look at LBG? Because, it's a dedicated pure play online publisher.
They're down a bit. But I said about future, what I like about future, right, is that literally they do generate decent amount of cash. They are a good company. Yeah. Their margins are very high, operating margins above 20%. Now, they were literally, the reason why they're such a star is because they did have significant growth and their margins were good. Now, growth is gone, but value's very good. Now, he's saying, the CEO, he wants to get a mid-single-digit sort of growth by next year, end of next year. So if they become a growth company again, that's fine. It'll rally like hell. But he's got to get that growth, because now all they are at the moment is decent value with a little bit of debt. But I mean, if he can get that growth back, though, it'll be a good play. And I do think I'm always stalking companies. Another company on that list, actually, I'm stalking, I mentioned this before, one of the best in class in the gaming area is Team 17. Isn't now the time? Isn't now the time? No. It's like literally now below IPO level. Look at that. It did, like, you know, what it 400% in a couple of years, and it's come off. I think these are the kind of companies, they are good businesses, take the big hammer in. And I think you've just got to have patience and see if they come around and see if their fundamentals get better. Just keep an eye on their reports, you know, keep an eye on the chart and all that stuff.
Well, we've had now three pretty nasty warnings from this sector. Team 17, Frontier Development, and a Tiny Build.
Tiny Build's in a bit of trouble. I was looking at them thinking, are they a trade there? They've gone down to like Tiny Build now, they've gone down to like 5 million market cap. They're doing about 50 million top line, but nevertheless, their cash burn is coming down. They also have a court issue with they acquired a game off, you know, these three guys, and they're claiming they haven't been paid properly for it. So to me, whenever you've got legal problems, stay clear, you know, it could go the wrong way. But they do say, the one saving grace here, they do say the founder of Tiny Build is willing to stump up 8-10 million in the placing, and they probably need that. But this legal issue they've got hanging over them, it's not good, you know, and I think, well, you don't want that on top of everything else. It's hard enough, you're in a hard market, let alone have legal problems, legal wrangles going on.
Anyway. Who else on the list? Ingenta has now popped out of two screens in a row.
Yes, so I did look at Ingenta. I did look at them on I put them through my spreadsheet recently, and I found them a little bit now. They really, they jump. No, I don't know, was it Ingenta or was it something else? Oh, no, it wasn't. It was something else. It wasn't there. What's the valuation on Ingenta?
18 million market cap. It's on a forecast P of just under 11. So, you know, I mean, this is cheap as chips. Yeah, this one, it seems to be completely under the radar.
I do not want these costumes from Etsy. No, I'm not joking, either. Right? I've done this so many times. I've done this, right? I send feedback. I said, this is not appropriate, right? And literally, before, all I had was one lady in a bikini. Now they're sending me four ladies in bikinis and stuff. Oh, by the way, if you're looking at Voxer, we've London Stock Exchange had a data crash. We've had some issues. So prices are a bit wonky at the moment, but they will be coming back very soon. A half-year report agenda. So 18 million and the revenues of 5.7. Oh, okay, not bad.
Yeah, it's basically digital production services platforms. I say it keeps popping out on these screens, which, you know, so purely numbers based. So I'm starting to think, okay, two times in a row, probably worth having a little dig around with this one. As I say, it seems very much under the radar.
So if you're assuming it's 11 million for, you know, for the year, around about there, they got cash at 2.6. They are literally, you know, profitable pretty much. Cash from operations of three. So you know, it's one of those small companies generating cash. Do they 9%? I would like to see a bit more growth than that. But nevertheless, in this environment, it's still growth. You know?
I tell you, revenues, I mean, that's a reasonably good, you know, top line rate of growth. But if then, you know, they can turn revenue growth of that level into faster profit growth through, you know, operational gearing, which you would expect in a sort of software based business, then that's better.
Yeah, that's a good looking chart, though. You see, it's bouncing off that 200-day moving average. Dipped a little bit there, but from 2022, it's gone from what, 70p to 129. So I assume their volume isn't that good. It's quite a bitty chart, so maybe quite illiquid.
There's another company on there which I sort of looked at a while back. They had a bit of a rough time share price wise, which is Pebble.
There's two pebbles, isn't there? There's two pebbles. There's a pebble. I don't know. Yeah, if we look at it, there are two pebbles. There's one called Pebble Beach System.
Pebble Beach,
and there's Pebble Group.
Pebble Group is in the promotional merchandising area.
So which one are we looking at? The Pebble Group.
Pebble Group. But the share price has been, as I say, weak.
Trading update on the 22nd of November. Okay, all right,
But, you know, still generating some pretty, pretty strong profits there. So, yes, the growth has sort of disappeared, but it still makes good money. You know, it's a little area of the market that I quite like, despite what that share price would suggest. You've got a company called 4imprint as well, which is much, much bigger. But also had a bit of a tricky update recently. And then you've got another company called Altitude, which is smaller still. Little space, you know, subsector in promotional merchandise, which I hadn't bought into, but now I can get into it a little bit cheaper because it's
Market cap for Pebble is 90 million. They're saying that for the year they're going to do 124. Last year was 134 million. Deliver approximately 16 million of EBITDA, so it's down 2 million from 8 million. But they do have cash of 15 million. That's net cash. No, that's net cash. Okay, so that's good. So we know straight away it's not going to be net debt because the screen has screened that out. Someone's bought or sold here. Let's have a look. Amati, they've gone down. Are they sold? Yeah,
When stuff sells off, then that's potentially where the opportunities can be found.
Value goes down, and that'll be on the website, that screener, ladies and gentlemen. So check that out. Let's have a look here. Some comments. Gregory, is Rio Tinto's 9.5% dividend sustainable? Mm. They seem to have been paying a good dividend for years. The PE is 8.7.
Well, the problem with mining, you know, big mining in particular, is, you know, many, many years ago, you know, they invested hell for leather in growth. And arguably, you know, they became very indisciplined in terms of the way they allocated their capital and were punished for it. You know, they were basically, you know, they wasted a lot of money. And the whole industry sort of turned on its sixpence and prioritized shareholder returns rather than sort of capital investment. So you've basically had many, many years where dividends have been the priority, and payment of dividends. The trouble is, we now, you know, as we sort of shift towards net zero, the energy transition, you know, we need a lot of materials to do that. You know, as copper or, you know, whatever it might be, and large miners have to start investing again. Yeah. So, you know, is this dividend safe? Well, there is a balance that's going to have to be reached, which is between paying dividends and investing in capacity in production.
Yeah. Well, look at
that. That's the worry there.
Yeah, exactly. If you look at Anglo American, we just said this morning, Anglo American are literally, you know, reducing investment on PGMs, you know, platinum group metals and the fertilizer. So they're pulling back because of lack of demand. Now, it is very cyclical, isn't it? Because that's what happens pretty much. They tend to invest when everything's starting to rally and everything's bullish. That's why you get this boom bust cycles. It double leverages that. But that's a range there. I mean, you know, I wouldn't know if it's sustainable. It's up to them, really. But you can see the range there. It's come up, did nicely from in a dash for cash crash, or pretty much 2016, 1580. It pretty much more than tripled, pretty much, to 2020. Mm. And since then, it's been up and down that big range from 48. Literally, look at that. You can almost, it's been down there almost 45 to 63. It's a big range there. You can make some money on that. If you're a dirty trader, Gregory, you want a bit.
I think it's an interesting sector. As you say, it is cyclical. You know, it needs high prices. So again, there's always this sort of, you know, the fact that it's leveraged to the price of the underlying commodity is problematic. They tend to invest when prices are rising. But then you get overcapacity and you get gluts, production gluts. So it's a tricky sector. Yeah, I don't know whether that dividend is safe.
No, Dagger 888 says, remember, US jobs data is out today. This could decide whether the Fed cuts rates early. Yeah, there was a, I did put a note on this. They're expecting, what do they say there? Expected to show job growth in the world's biggest economy, likely picked up in the previous month. So, you know, it's very sticky there in America. It's the consumer spending, as yet, there are tentative signs of weakening, but not convincing as yet. The higher rates are working over there. They seem to be working over here a bit better. People seem to have less money over here, I think. There's comments. Supermoner says, Gregory, the big miners have spectacularly volatile dividends year on year. The Glencore divvy looks like the one that could continue to increase year on year. Simon, when central banks pivot... Yeah.
It's true. They tend to pay big specials. You know, so as you say, that can sort of fluctuate wildly from one year to the next.
Yeah, yeah. Simon says, when central bankers pivot, shares either rally, soft landing, or crash, recession coming. In my view, the latter is more likely, but let's see. Yeah, when they tend to pivot, though, when you've got high interest rates, it tend to be very good. You know, it's not going to be bullet. We all know the reason why they're raising rates is to throttle the economy, to slow things down. So we know, I don't think it's going to be any surprise if we start seeing figures coming out that the economy is not doing so well. But I think, you know, it'll just cost, you know, like I said, cost of capital come down, everything. It'll help, especially small caps and all that stuff. I think it'll help there. Riverstop says, about Diageo, I've heard there's a trend in the US for young people to drink less alcohol from surveys, so maybe they're all lying. Yeah, no, I I've heard that as well. Apparently, younger people now are not hammering it like we did as youngsters. And apparently, they're a bit more sensible, I've heard.
There is a growing movement, that's for sure. It's one that I suspect will take a very, very long time. You know, yeah, we have a sort of, there is very much an entrenched drinking culture around the world. But yeah, I agree. There is a, is it like fags? It's not exactly good for you, is it?
Yeah,
you know, so yeah, and it's expensive. So maybe the young are prioritizing their health and their wallets.
Yeah, Mike, I've looked at, Mike says, have a look at Iraqua. I've looked at Iraq for a long time, and literally, I do like them, and I like what they're doing. They've bounced nicely of late, and they're bound to sooner or later. They've been hammered. It's one of the stocks, you know. Will the momentum going to sustainable rise? I mean, what I would say in Iraq, like I said, they've bounced nicely. They do a lot of government contracts, don't they? And what worried me, I was going to get into these recently, and the worry I have is the amount of councils going bust. It's like, it's phenomenal, isn't it? I think it's Nottingham now, Birmingham's gone bust. There's so lack of money, and they do rely, don't they, on quite a bit of this money. So I'm just worried about how skint local councils are.
Very would be the answer to that.
Yeah.
It's the fragile finances. But, you know, these technologies are important. There is a cost saving to be made from investing in this type of technology.
This is very much, Mike. If you got in the bottom, done very well. But as yet, to me, this is very much a technical bounce from an oversold position. And I prefer to see some updates of them, you know, not getting any worse, because the last few updates they've done, like I said, the margins have got thinner, and their earnings, their profits gone down, forecasted profits gone down massively. So I would like to see a positive update. Maybe it's all priced in now. I don't know. But yes, yeah, nice to see a relief bounce here. Is it sustainable? That's the only thing. You know, like I said, if you read the broker forecast and all that, they do say it's because, like I said, a lot of councils are delaying spending because they're skint. Yep. They're going through. It's a bit worrying, isn't it? How does that work? How can a Birmingham council go through? How can Nottingham council go bankrupt? I don't know. It was nuts, really, isn't it? So it's a little bit worrying. And of course, it doesn't help with, in fact, the local one down by me, right? I think Eastleigh, they've bought a huge amount of land to develop houses on it. And they've taken on a lot of debt. And I think, do they know what they're doing? So it's a little bit worrying. You know, I think it's like a 500 house development they're doing. And they're paying for all of it, pretty much. And it's all based on debt. I think,
yeah. Well, there's been some very dubious investments made by certain councils, you know, some renewable energy investments. There have been some problems.
Yeah.
Quite big problems.
I know. Have you put any content on Vox of late, John?
I haven't. No, I'm sort of in the process of doing some sort of bigger in-depth pieces.
Okay, good.
So yeah, watch out for those.
It's I think they're part of ASCO, aren't they? Indian Governor and Paul Chatham, Indian Capital Growth there. Some of the most read there is nonsense. There's a couple of
they do Walls Hill.
Still, do a payment of $675,000. There we are. A lot of director change. Landor, this is quite interesting actually, because they have said proposed financing, they've cancelled it because you know, due to the markets and stuff, they're down like 38%, 40%. Landor, and so they're saying they're now, the board has postponed the proposed dual listing of the exchange until further notice. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So hang on, where are they?
Not a company I know, I have to say.
On TSX, they were going to listen to this, but now they've stopped their financing issues. Yes, they've dropped. Contango, yeah, that was down. What are they saying there? The board is not aware of any changes, because that's down, a big faller again.
There's some big moves, like up and down, you know, without really much news in many cases. It's I don't know, there's sort of signs of life in various parts of the market.
Yeah, there is. There's something on BSNSF there. They've done a joint venture to do cultivated meat and all that stuff. It's, you know, any energy contract with utility data. This is like $240,000 a year. And this data, it's a sort of Gary Warby's involved in both. They get data there, get utility bill and cost consumption auditing and all that stuff. There's still that talk about that, which is odd. I think that part of the business was an offer of $30 million, which is like, what? Because that was more than the market cap of the energy altogether. So, that, you know, someone apparently had been talking to them and they were saying they're talking about an offer of around about $30 million for one part of the business. But that was more than what's the market cap now? Oh, is it maybe let's have the E&E chart.
Market cap is now $20 million.
Yeah. So they've had an offer for a part of the business, but around about $30 million. It did spike up on that news then. It's come back down. So maybe people are not convinced that's going to happen.
Strange.
But all right. Sorry, let's cover some more.
I tell you what, I did notice this week was 10 Entertainment.
Yeah, another one taken out.
Another takeout, yeah. Yeah,
it's been a lot now. Is there a way of you going to knock up an easy list of these companies that have been taken out? Because, in fact, you know, the best performing sector in the FTSE 350 this I think week or month is leisure. Travel leisure. And I said, if you get it's a good quality company in the travel leisure sector, bombed out, you know, and they're good, they've just been lumped in with the rest of them. Have a look at them. I mean, off the top of my head, I don't own any now.
Well,
Factory is a good company like that. That's bombed out. You know, less than one-time sales.
Well, we talked earlier in the week, didn't we, about On the Beach, which had
On the Beach. Yeah,
was looking a bit bombed out. They had some fantastic numbers. That's the other one I like in this space. I mean, you know, some of your bar groups, you know, lounges. Having said that the young are stopping to drink. You know, your Revolution bars, lounges are possibly worth a look.
Yeah, but I suspect how many young have stopped drinking. Maybe it's not as much as we did years ago, but there's still enough to. If you drive through a town centre on a Friday night, it's still quite busy.
Yeah,
you know, it's okay. Let me just finish the rest of the comments here. Simon, interesting. Super Glenn's. Denko's PE is only 4.1. Okay. Simon said, Diageo is interesting. Still quite expensive, though. 3% dividend yield growing at 5%. Need the price to be £16 to earn a 10% annual return. Probably 8.5% return at current price. Yeah, Simon, you're in the spreadsheets, aren't you?
It is quite expensive still. I'd tend to agree with that.
Yeah. Justin, I keep getting ads for Ukrainian women. And no button for got enough already, thank you. Yeah, I've seen that on YouTube, actually. Miners should get a boost as the world comes out of recession. Your higher price for commodities. No, definitely. I genuinely think if you're in that sector, you look at sub sort of, you know, 30 million market cap resource companies with good assets, they'll rally very strongly once we come out of this.
It's an equation. You know, because you would expect them to benefit as the world comes out of recession and demand for these, you know, their output increases, but they have to invest very, very heavily in production.
Yeah.
It's a weighing up of which one of those will have the most impact.
Yeah. Thanks for heads up earlier. Cohort results out next Wednesday. Certainly looks very interesting. Yeah, Mike says, positive update would be nice. The CEO, this is in Arakawa, bought back in. It's 40 pence after previously selling at £3. Wow. This has got to say this carefully again. Daftus Cluck says, Justin, last Friday, before we break for Chrissy, can we have a cashmere in puff and a jacket on his synthesizer for Christmas sing-along? Strobe lights optional. You're into music and your little keyboard dressed up, yes. And now to sing us out is Johnny Boy. Vodafone are looking a good value.
Telecoms has been having a cracking time. Well, certainly my bit of the telecoms. Vodafone does look very cheap. That's one way traffic down.
But look at that. Look at that chart. It's a heck of a downtrend. And what's horrible about that?
It is.
It's broken the 200 MOA several times, fake breaks, and comes back down. So literally, you think, oh, here we go. And they even gapped up there back in 2019. And it keeps breaking that and literally going back down. But even now, that's a multi year. I mean, I have to put on a weekly chart to find out when they were last down here. Literally.
That's horrendous.
1997. 90s. They're at 90s low, Vodafone. Now, I'm not saying you get in because of that, because the downtrend can continue. And that's they've been in a downtrend now since literally pretty much since 2018. Wow, has that been the same CEO? or what? Because that's anything.
I would suspect not.
One of the longest downtrends I've seen in an individual share price. 2018, pretty much. So if you think you can pick the bottom, when literally it's been down there for 5 years, be careful. Be careful, because the value can keep getting, you know, better value. Really can. So be careful of that. And like I said, that was the previous support there. Let's bring it down a little. Probably hit bottoms there at 70 pence. Now just dip below that. Have they had news out today? Because why are they going below that? I mean, literally, they've just broken down previous support.
I haven't seen any news from Vodafone.
Oh, okay. That's not good. BT is literally. I mean,
BT's
are literally. Look at that. They've had lows here previously, pretty much a quid, but they didn't get down to that, which is quite nice. And literally, they are rallying now, breaking above that previous support resistance up above 200-day moving average. They also have had some nasty breakouts that haven't materialized, just gone back lower again. So it's a little bit worrying, but there we are.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Just one final thing. Quickly. Yeah, like I said, just covering this, I mentioned this earlier, but mortgage rates on typical two-year fixed rates have fallen below 6% for the first time. They're at 5.99. Competition amongst providers have intensified as they face a battle to attract a small pot of new homeowners to maintain. They said, given added confidence, as many analysts suggest, the Bank of England's base rate has now peaked. And then where do we go from a peak? We may go, you know, same for a while, hold higher for longer. The longer we hold, the more likely they are to come down faster, I believe, because the economies will suffer. But there we are. And that's all. A bit of news there about the Fed and et cetera. We covered all that. But is there any comments I haven't covered off? The Vodafone debt mountain is killing it, apparently. So Supermono. Yeah, you got to look at big companies there. Check out the debt. Because that kind
of net borrowing, $49.8
billion. Ooh.
Market cap, $18.9 billion.
Wow. Michael, there we are. It's always an educational look at this show.
A lot of debt.
They got net debt of what? $49 billion.
Pretty much, just under $50 billion.
$50 billion.
Swamped with debt.
Yeah, they are literally swimming in it.
Yeah.
And it looks like they maybe even. What happens in a situation like that? Can they drown? Can they go through?
Well, as long as they keep servicing it, then, you know, and. Until, because they are cash generators. They can keep servicing the debt, but it's not leaving a lot left on the table for equity.
No.
For owners, is it? So that's that. There is indeed. There's the problem.
Yeah. So Michael, be very aware of debt. You know, big kind of debt. Just look at if you can go on any sort of, you know, any site that shows you the net cash, net debt, the net debt, any company like that, and it's, you know, just bigger than their market cap. That's quite a worry. It's quite hard. And generally, John, if a company has debt, and what comfortable are you at? I mean, to me, if they're making a profit, I like, there's plenty of companies out there with no debt, first and foremost. You don't have to take a company with debt. If you really like a company that's got debt, in my mind, I think, okay, I just look at the, you know, what kind of profit they're making, operating profit. And I don't want to see it being like three times more than that, five times, starting to get a little bit worried. But if it's above market cap, you're thinking, that's a little bit worrying, isn't it? You know,
but it really depends how that debt is used. I mean, there's nothing wrong with debt per se. You know, it's if used in the right way, it's an, you know, an efficient way to run a balance sheet. You know, having too much cash can be similarly problematic.
Cost of debt has now gone up, though. That's the trouble. If people were like, you know, using the metrics of like 2 years ago, and now all of a sudden it's become, you know, five times, well, in fact, multiples more expensive. How do we service this now? And how do we refinance this, you know?
I mean, just looking at the FTSE 100 and putting, you know, the banks to one side, Vodafone has more debt than any other company on the FTSE 100. And then, you know, you've got, I mean, Shell has 40 odd billion of debt, but it's, you know, that's a quarter of its market cap. Vodafone is, that's not a pretty balance sheet.
I suppose, though, if interest come down, they may get a little bounce there, you know. I don't know how long it'll last for, though, because they've still got a lot of debt. Regardless of what interest rate they're paying, it's a lot of debt to pay off.
It is.
Cool. Marvellous stuff. Thanks for that, everyone. Don't forget, hit that like button, please. And if you haven't subscribed, if you watched this, you haven't subscribed, please hit the subscribe button. It will help us get us to our target. And download the Vox Markets app, voxmarkets.co.uk/app. It's free to use. RNS is straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever a company you follow releases news. Any plans for the weekend, John?
Moving house. I've got a moving house. I've got a lot of tidying.
Right. A quiet one then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, fella.
Thanks.
And we'll speak to you next week.
See you next week.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.